yes, we're here. We are here just on the tip of December. The year is almost over. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
You guys are listening to Carolyn and Joe Show!
Oh my gosh, you sounded like that I believe in a thing called love.
I tried.
What band is that?
I tried. The Darkness?
Yeah, you sounded like The Darkness.
There. I didn't know if I was going to hit that. I'm feeling a little under weather, a little stuffed up, but doesn't really matter. I'm here to give you guys the best entertainment because you know what? My name is Joe Carabay. I'm a filmmaker, photographer, a writer, and sometimes I'm a musician. But today, I'm in fact a podcaster, and across from me is one of the greatest cartoonists, one of the greatest designers, one of the greatest art directors, one of the greatest people that you will ever meet in your whole entire life. Carolyn Bilewski, how are you doing, Carolyn?
I'm doing well.
Sweet.
I actually sound better than you this week.
You do sound better. What? Is there ever a comparison?
Well, I always think you have such a nice voice, and now I can hear it in your nose.
Now you can hear it in my nose? My nose.
Yeah.
Sometimes it helps you do the radio voice by having a little bit more nasaliness, I guess. Maybe. Maybe that's a thing. Maybe it is
a thing.
Well,
you do have a very good voice.
Do I?
You're not sick.
Whenever I hear my voice, it's sort of, I still don't like it. I cringe at that voice. Though I remember I was on, we were on Jellyvision, and I said that, and Jennifer said, it's like, that's like a male model saying he's ugly or something like that when talking about my voice.
Well, maybe you're just trying to deflect all the compliments.
No, that's not true. I'm still not a fan of my voice. I don't know. Maybe
your talking voice or your singing voice?
Both of them, really. I was listening to my voice earlier today on all the recordings from the Mr. Bandit stuff and all those back in the day. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, well, it still just doesn't sound cool to me. I don't know what it is.
Are you like on the brink of it, or you're like, I'm almost there, I'm getting better, or are you just like, you have no appeal to your voice at all?
No, I've just accepted it. It's like its own entity at this point.
Why don't you like it though?
I don't know. It just doesn't sound cool. It doesn't sound tough to me. It just sounds like it's what it is. It is what it is.
Hmm.
And I don't know. Maybe there's some times where I can emulate stuff, but it's like, okay, there's my voice. It's just accepting that that's how I sound.
Do people ever ask you like where you're from based on your voice?
No, they never do.
They do that with me.
Well, they're like, are you from Boston?
I don't know where the heck they think I'm from, honestly, but they're just like, oh, your voice sounds different. Where are you from?
Like, where are you from? You sound a little different.
You ain't from around
you ain't
here.
From these parts, are you, boy? Girl?
So I don't know, like, what the deal is with that, truthfully, because I don't know. Is there supposed to be, like, a D.C. accent?
Yeah.
What is that?
Just the, like,
I know there's like a strong Maryland Baltimore accent.
Is there? I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what that is, but that has been explained to me before, and someone sent me like a YouTube video about the Baltimore accent.
But there's like certain words. I remember like
I guess they're like the Baltimore Ravens. You know, like yeah, I don't know.
Adam from the Dollar Bin.
Yeah,
Adam,
he's from around there.
They're talking about like there's like an accent for that, for like the Baltimore Maryland stuff like that.
Yeah, there definitely is. Of course, there's Boston accent, New York accent. There are a lot of accents, but I guess my question is, like, is there a D.C. accent?
There probably is a D.C. accent. It probably comes with an attitude of what D.C. is all about. Maybe that's what we have, sort of. But we're not really in D.C. We're, like, on the edges of D.C.
Outskirts.
Hey, it's Carolyn's News!
Hey, guys. Well, as you know, yesterday was Monday. Big surprise. But it wasn't just any ordinary Monday. It was, can I get an effect? Cyber Monday. That was yesterday. But you know what? We have a Cyber Monday sale with all Curls Studio merch. And you know what? I'm tired because it's Tuesday a.m., really early in the a.m. I'm supposed to take that sale down, but I'm tired. And I'm probably not going to take it down. So if you hear the show on Tuesday, Cyber Tuesday.
You can do it again.
Cyber Tuesday, which could be today, the day this show releases. Also, they're branding it as Giving Tuesday. Giving Tuesday, where you're supposed to donate to a charity. But if you want to take advantage of the Curls Studio Cyber Monday sale, it's still going on. And you can do that by going to my website. It's carolynbilevsky.com. How you spell that? Oh, well, that's easy. CarolynBilevsky.com. And click on store, and you'll find all the goodies that we have for sale, and we're doing a special on the Leggetts comic book bundled with a deco shirt, only $9. The comic book is $5 usually, so you're basically getting a shirt for $4. That's pretty crazy.
Deals, man. It's all about those deals.
And the shirt is usually $10. So basically, you're getting the comic for free and a dollar off. You can look at it either way. So many multiple solutions to this. It's amazing.
And just buy them all.
And
get
Deco,
the whole bundle. Just
Deco is like the evil corporation in the Leggetts.
Represent your own evil corporation with the Deco shirt, right?
Yes. We must represent evil. But I think that's a pretty cool bundle to get. So that's our big sale. There's lots of other sales on like the Curls book, the brand new Curls book that just came out. You get a few dollars off that. You know, a whole bunch of other fun stuff. With like, and, you know, I have some stuff that's not really that pricey. So something that's like $5 is now marked down to $4. So we're saving you money. I can't go any lower than that. But maybe you can.
Yeah,
Cyber Monday.
Of course they can.
Cyber Monday.
I bet they can go lower than that, can they?
I mean, I can't, but you know what? You get a few dollars off on some of the other Curl Studio merch. I think that's pretty exciting. So if you want to get somebody a gift that they're not expecting, I think that's your solution. They'll never know what they're getting because they'll be discovering stuff.
That's right.
Because, you know, there's always those gifts where, like, people, like, know what they're going to get. Did you ever have that when you were younger, when you, like, begged your parents for something and you already kind of knew that you're going to get it?
Nope, that never happened.
That never happened to you? Why? How does that not happen?
I never got what I wanted.
Aw. Well, I mean, I remember a couple Christmases being like, I really want this thing so badly, Mom and Dad, please. And then I got it. So it was a surprise, but it also wasn't that much of a surprise because I kind of sensed that Santa would get me it. And I knew he'd be coming for me because I told him what I wanted.
I'm coming for you.
I'm coming for you, Carolyn. And he like threw the present through the chimney. It was amazing. It was good stuff. Good stuff.
It was absolutely. So basically, so when are you gonna have this? When are you gonna end the sale? Is this?
I mean,
just gonna keep the sale going on?
I'll probably take it down eventually. Next time I like log in to the site.
All right, it won't be like, why are all these people buying these things still cheaper? Like, oh, I forgot to take down the pricing.
But basically, act fast because I don't know when I'm gonna take it down. But it was only supposed to be for Monday, but I will extend it because I have never announced it on the radio show before. So now you know, and
knowing is half the battle.
Yeah, so do something about that knowledge.
Yep, 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 yep. So Thanksgiving came and went. We had an awesome. I guess it's always good stuff happening. But one thing that we did watch, I don't even know when this movie came out, was Eat, Pray, Love.
Oh yeah, we watched.
We watched Eat, Pray, Love. This movies is a good thing. Is always a good thing.
We watched. You know what else? The reason why we watched Eat, Pray, Love is because I completed the audiobook earlier this year.
Oh really?
Yes. It's written by Elizabeth Gilbert.
What's so great about that person?
Well,
what's so great about
her? I don't know much about her details, but apparently she went through a divorce and like she thought that was what she wanted in life and stuff, but then in her early 30s she's just like something hit her that's like she's like this is not what I want, and I guess her and her husband weren't on the same wavelength in life.
Yeah.
And so she wanted to get a divorce. And so also to find herself, she did like this trip like for one whole year, and she went to 3 destinations. The first one was Italy, then she went to India, and then she went to Bali. I believe it was Bali.
Yeah.
And so It was exciting to kind of like have her travel for me because I haven't left the United States yet.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, that's cool that she can like do all those things and I can't. But I guess she lost like a lot in the divorce. But seeing as Eat, Pray, Love is a success, I'm sure like she's doing well financially.
It's a strange thing because it's not strange, but
and also Julia Roberts played her in the movie.
It's an interesting story because it is about that. It is about like the, you know, you're finding a point in your life where you're like, what else do I have? But see, like when I was watching the movie, and when I was watching the Julia Roberts' character, I always forget people's names.
I think that she's just called Liz.
Yeah, when I was watching the Liz character, you know, and it starts with the divorce, and it starts with like, you know, to me, it was sort of tough for me to buy into her character all the way. I didn't read the book and then all this stuff, and just be attached for me as who I am, to be attached to who she is,
mm-hmm.
because it was just so abruptly. It was just all of a sudden in her life, it's like, I'm bored and I'm not connected here and I don't want to be married. You know what I mean? And it's like,
did you feel like there's no build up to the divorce?
I'm just saying that like for me, it felt very selfish because of her character felt very selfish.
Well,
to
it's,
me.
It's interesting that you say that because that's been from, you know, I don't really go online and like read commentary on everything, but occasionally after I see a movie, I might check in on IMDb for like 5 minutes and just cruise around and see like what else the actors has been in and all that. But yeah, I did check in on IMDb, and that was one of the main criticisms, it seemed like, of the film.
Was that different than the book?
Selfish.
Was that different than the book?
No,
was there more
of
like, oh, he did something bad? Because like, really, like the what's his name?
Billy Kudrow.
Yeah,
her husband.
Yeah, Dr. Manhattan. Like when you know, it's like it didn't feel like he did anything wrong. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like he was still like trying to give them like a good life, and was working. You know, maybe it wasn't as successful, or maybe it was, or, you know, like things.
They did show, maybe it wasn't like hit you over the top of the head that he's a bad guy or anything, because I don't think he is a bad person.
Yeah.
But they did show like scenes where like at a party and like they had to walk away for a moment and he had to take care of someone else's kid.
Yeah.
And he like was holding up the kid like he didn't know what to do. And like she could tell that like she's like, do I really want to have kids with this person? He's like, not even. He wanted to go like suddenly back to school. I will say in the book, she doesn't really get into reasons why the divorce was happening, because she wanted her husband to like, I guess, still keep, she didn't want to have it be like a book like trashing her husband. She wanted him to like still keep his essence.
Well,
you know?
See,
like,
that was the tough part that I had to sort of swallow just to go on to this adventure. It's sort of just like, okay, they broke up because something bad, because I guess they just couldn't get along, but like, or they had creative differences, or they had things like that. But like when I was watching it, and I didn't have the leisure of reading the book, but like I just felt like, it's sort of like, to me, like when a girl is like, oh, I'm tired of this toy now. I'm tired of this. I want something different. Oh, I'm tired of I'm tired of this marriage. But it's just like, well, don't get married.
I mean,
They brought that up to like, we were too young and stuff like that. And that's why. But then that's, I don't know.
I'm not
sort
trying
of,
to defend her, because I do think that it is a little, it's hard to say, because like she was unhappy, but it does feel like a little unselfish. Like it feels like maybe the movie just comes across that like she didn't put all the effort that she could to turn it around. I feel like they were having a communication problem.
It's like a Marie Antoinette type of situation. I find it's like, oh, I'm bored, so I just need to get out of this, but I don't want to put any more work. Or at least for me, when I saw, I didn't want to put any more work into it. But then they romanticize like, now I can be free and look at this whole, get these whole new worlds and go through these adventures, because now I'm not attached to anything. And then I can end in being in a romantic element and stuff like that. But I'm just like, well, what's really stopping you from being bored again and moving on? It's sort of like, are you just going to keep on repeating these type of scenarios? You know what I mean? It's also like, and also I actually felt bad. I mean, I felt bad for everything, but I don't know. Like
you felt bad for everything in Eat, Pray, Love?
No, not everything. But I felt like in a way I was like, I can't connect to this Julia Roberts character specifically, because I couldn't connect with the real reason, like a real palpable reason to not work on the relationship. You know, does that sound weird?
Yeah, I think going into this film, like, this film necessarily, like, I was gonna have, like, a hard time, like, mentally, like, presenting it to you, because the whole reason why I got into this was, like, this year has been my year of listening to audiobooks during my commute, and so, like, I was browsing the audiobooks, and this is how I pick out most of my audiobooks, is, like, I just literally pick them from the side of looking at them at the library.
That's interesting, because
like, being like, oh, okay, I'll try this one, and that's how Eat, Pray, Love came up, because
I actually thought you wanted to see Eat, Pray, Love, like, going into it, I thought, like, because you're going through a Javier Bardem thing, and you're like, oh, Javier Bardem's in it, we should watch this, and then, like, it's funny, because, like, I was almost like, I thought, is he on the cover?
Yeah, he is.
He's on the cover, but like, it's amazing,
it's
because
smaller picture.
Of okay, it's a smaller picture. I didn't see that, but like, it's interesting because like, to me, I was going into it being like, oh, he's like the main love interest, like in Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
Uh-huh.
But then, like, he's like in the final fourth. A lot of time I was like, where is this?
You're
guy?
Like, where's Javier?
Where is he? I thought you were gonna see him the first time.
Well, because I didn't want to give that away. I knew what character he was playing, but
I was like, damn, when's this guy gonna show up and like sweep her off her feet? Oh, at the very end.
Yeah.
I was like, he's gonna sweep her off her feet because that's what he does. Either that or he kills you, you know?
It's either one of the two.
It literally is with Javier. It's one of the two. Either you're like a crazy Skyfall, you know, like
he's like a crazy villain, or like
you're like the
or like
interest,
or like oh baby, I'll take
yeah,
you away.
The panty melter foreigner. Yeah,
panty melter foreigner. I mean, he plays both roles really well. Yeah,
he cried in this one. He's very emotional. That's when he touched bases. He can, yeah. he can touch that emotional part.
That scene with his son is probably one of the best moments in the movie. And I will say, like, yeah, so I the reason why I started in with that as an audiobook's like, part of me was like, should I bother with this? I know this is a chick flick.
When was it made? When was it made?
Oh,
to show how up to date we are.
Ago?
Okay.
So
we're on it.
I don't know what date actually it was made, but it seems like around maybe the book around that four or five years ago. Anyway, I was just like browsing the spines of the audiobooks and it jumped out at me and I was like, oh, Eat, Pray, Love. Like, I've heard of this and I know it's like a bestseller. I know Elizabeth Gilbert has done a TED talk that was very popular about how creativity strikes. And I didn't realize it was her until later. And then I was like, oh yeah, I think I did see her TED talk. Cause you know, things go viral like that. And then everyone knows who you are in one day, you know, if you have that massive reach. And then I had heard that it had been a movie, and I knew that Julia Roberts was in it. I didn't even know that Javier Bardem was in it. And so then I was like, okay, well, I'll try the audiobook. And I did the audiobook, and it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. And it did seem like a little selfish, you know, to be like, okay, bye, see you later, and then just go off on your trip and, like, get divorced,
well,
you know?
See,
like,
the problem I have with that is, you know, and maybe it's just me, but part of it almost feels like it's a cover-up, because they're always going to romanticize like the girl's aspect, and of course it's coming from her, so she of course did nothing wrong, you know what I mean?
No, she did do, like, in the book she, like, but like I said, she doesn't go into like the exact specifics, because like, I don't think she wanted to, like,
but also because
have it be a fight between her and her husband and be like, you did this, no, I did this,
but also, you know, then like, but what it does is when you leave all that stuff out, though, you take away that. It's, or you just showcase the romantic aspects of it. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And it's sort of just like, I feel like if you do that, then like, I feel like maybe are women just going to be like, oh, I need to, like, it's like leaving a marriage is freedom.
I mean, that seems to be the new thing in the past. Like, I don't know for sure, but it feels like everyone that I know of in the past 10 years that has gotten divorced, it has been the majority, the women just piecing out.
Well, see, that's bullshit, because then don't fucking get married, because usually a lot of times it's the women who want to freaking push forward with the marriage.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Each situation is different.
But see, to me, like, if that's a majority, that's the part where I get pissed off at, where a lot of times it's like the girls are the guys are fine, but then the girls are the ones who are like, you get, you know, they want to have the you know, it's always about, like, usually the day is about the women. It's about their day, their big day. And then for them to push forward because they're bored, it's sort of just like, oh, then it really was all just about you then, you know, because usually a guy's hustling for him,
mm-hmm.
unless they're like abusive, you know, but
well, yeah,
I feel like that's the part that happens. It's like, okay, in a modern, is that what's happening? The modern girl is going to be like, I want to have this dream wedding, I'll look all hot and shit, blah, 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 and I'm going to be married, and we're going to do this, and then, but then once I'm bored, I'm just going to leave it, and I'm going to be trapped, and then now I need to bust free because I need freedom. It's like, well, you inflicted this on yourself, right? Is that what happens? Is that what's going to be?
It could be a commentary on some cases. I mean,
if that's how it is, because this, I know a lot of times just weddings don't, I mean, the marriages don't work out, but that, I mean, seems like from the angle of the story, that's like how it
but
is.
But did the Billy Kudrup character seem like the best match for her?
I didn't get really to know him.
So maybe that's a fault in the movie. You didn't really get to know him.
Yeah, but see, I'm still of the part of Paul Abdul's Opposites Attract, which make great pieces. So it's like a great fit is with the same person. I don't know, but that part sort of like got to me a little bit. At least that to me, having to swallow that is what made it tough getting into the story as a whole until I just got caught up into the story too.
Well, if you say that the Paula Abdul Opposites Attract method works for you, then that's kind of, from what I know about the scenarios of online dating, that's kind of the opposite. Because don't you have to fill out all those questionnaires that, I don't know exactly what the questions are, but like eHarmony and Match.
Yeah.
Don't you have to fill out like your personality profile and they try to match you with who you're most compatible with?
Probably.
Like, I don't think that they would match somebody that likes classical music with somebody that likes punk hardcore.
But how do you
know? Like, I don't think they would do that.
Yeah, but how do you get new exciting colors if you don't mix opposite colors, right?
No, I don't know how they do their formulations, but
I feel like in a way, is that a potential of how people get bored because they already know what to expect? They're like, well, we like the same things.
Yeah, I think that me personally, I'm not necessarily against online dating. It seems like a lot of people are getting connected with that method, and I know of like 3 couples that have gotten married through online dating, so it works and they're still together. So, and you know, a lot of them have been married for a few years, so I guess it works. And I know 4 people that have, but yeah, it does seem like a convenience thing to be like, oh, this person's similar to me. And some people get to that level though, where they're just like, maybe they're not finding anybody in real life. And they're just like, you know, I want to be in a relationship. I want to be in a committed relationship with somebody, and I'll turn to the internet for that. And it seems silly like 10 years ago, but now it's like, it's a mainstream thing. If anything, probably more marriages come from that than from real life. Or at least it's equal. It used to be kind of a creepy thing, but now I don't think it's creepy at all. But it does seem like a step forward to thinking like, this person's going to be just like me and I'm going to like them.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like you'd find somebody that's more extreme. Unless you vary your answers or something and mess with the algorithm. I don't know how they match people, but, you know. I do know of one case that I heard from a friend of a friend of one guy who was having trouble in real life and couldn't find anybody. And he has, you know, taken the path of online dating, and he's done 3 different sites, and he's found the same girl matched on all the sites.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's like, that's the girl for him. But apparently, you know, honestly, I know of this guy, but I haven't.
That's what the math says, right?
I know of this guy from like high school, and he wasn't in my grade. But I know he wasn't like necessarily like the best looking guy, but apparently the girl that he's being matched with is kind of overweight. And he's making judgments about her. But I know that...
In
like,
actuality, I know he that should be judging himself,
yeah,
then.
Yeah, and I know like he might not necessarily be the best. You know, he's not like some hunk. So, yeah, it's a little bit of a case of shallow how. But, you know, what are you going to do? But I feel like if you're matched with somebody at like multiple sites... I don't know. It's also weird to like sign up for multiple sites, too. It's like, can't you only keep track of one? I don't know. I don't know how that all works.
But most of the matches
I know actually came from Match.com, and then I know one from eHarmony. So, you know, it works. And there's also, like, Cupid or something. I don't know. iCupid. I don't know what it is. I don't know all these sites.
I don't know.
There's so many options. Because now they have, like, JDate. Like, if you're Jewish, you can just want to look for Jewish people. What if you, like, weren't Jewish, but then you wanted somebody that's Jewish? Would you sign up on JDate?
Yeah.
I guess so. But then I guess you'd have to be like, full disclosure, I'm not Jewish.
Well, what if they're just looking for just looking for Jewish people, or do they want it? Is it only for Jewish people?
I think it's only for Jewish.
Is Jewish people,
but,
looking for Jewish people?
Yeah, but what if you?
That sounds like a registration
into it.
That sounds like a registration act to me. You see that?
I mean, that's what they have. All different types. They have like matrimonies with, you know, Hindus and all this stuff. There's tons out there. I've even seen it with like conspiracy theorists. They have their own dating network too. Like people that are in the like sci-fi conspiracy theory, they have their own date network. Isn't that crazy? Like it gets down to things that you like. I mean,
just
even
like it's like the statistics on your on the back of the card. I mean,
even like at Comic-Con, they have like the speed dating now.
Yeah,
it's very popular. I mean, that's a cool place though to like meet somebody though. You know, you can be like, we met at Comic-Con. Like, it sounds fun.
Yeah.
Which is probably kind of intimidating speed date.
Which
I guess.
Now I feel like is going to become like the norm.
Yeah. There's been so many weddings that I've heard of people that met at Comic-Con that want their wedding at Comic-Con, or they get proposed at Comic-Con. I remember our friend Riley Brand, who was they had a couple come up and propose right in front of him.
Were they like Deadpool?
Yeah,
Deadpool
they were people? Dressed because as he, Deadpool, well, and then there was multiple Deadpools everywhere.
He's one of the artists for the Deadpool.
But how amazing is that to like look up from your table and then there's a proposal happening right in front of you?
Yeah,
like, as Deadpool. That's pretty amazing. That's like an amazing moment in someone's career, even. You know, that's really fun. But yeah, it happens a lot at comic conventions. I mean, people get together, but back to Eat, Pray, Love. I do think like maybe they needed to disclose more about what was going on with her husband.
I'm just saying, am I
I
wrong?
I just feel
for...
like she wasn't feeling it anymore.
Do,
you know,
do,
like,
do you feel
she,
like
there
I'm...
was no love there?
But like yeah.
That's, like, what
that's
can
why
you do after
well,
that's,
you know? That's why I'm saying, like, am I wrong for thinking that, like, well, you didn't really try anything, or were you, do you, I've never been in that situation, so it's sort of like, do you just, when you know, you're just like, yep, I'm done.
But maybe that's something that you've never felt, so you can't relate to.
That's what I'm saying.
So maybe other people have, though, that they're like, yeah, that's when the magic's gone, and
yeah.
They just know that it's like, got nothing here.
But I feel like there's always going to be sort of like you come in waves, though.
But you know what? It felt sad, though, when at night they show, like, and also in the book it describes a little bit like this. Like, there was a night, I guess she couldn't sleep. She couldn't take it anymore. And it was, you know, it's raining and, like, all powerful outside. And you're just, like, walking around the house. And I don't know if people have ever done this, but they, like, walk around their house or the apartment and just start looking at things.
Yeah.
And thinking about their life. And she has a nice house, like, all this stuff. And she's just like, I wanted this. And, like, you know, hardwood floors and all this, you know, really good-looking stuff. And she's just like, I wanted this. And now, like, I don't even want to be here.
Well, maybe because part of me is I feel bad for the Dr. Manhattan character.
The husband.
Yeah. Because, like, you know, he had to take a bullet for her again. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Someone just woke up. Or just start feeling like I'm not into it. And she's like, okay, so where does that leave me? Because I'm still into it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's crazy, though, too, because, like, sometimes I wonder with, you know, how you hear celebrity weddings, and it's always easy, or, like, celebrity divorces, too. It's always easy to, like, make judgment on them because they're living their lives out in the public eye. So, you know, if you mention their name, people know who they are, and it's easy to talk about them. And, you know, you hear about either ones that are getting married or ones that are getting divorced. It makes me wonder, like, you know, how long has that been going on? Like, even, you know, like, some of the rushed marriages, I'm like, oh, how long have they even been dating? I didn't even know they were dating, you know, stuff like that. And then, like, all of a sudden they're getting married.
Yeah.
It seems like so fast to me. But then even with the divorces, it's like there's some, you know, very famous couples that were together, like, you know, off the top of my head, Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise, you know, they were together for like nearly 10 years. And I know California has a law that if you go over 10 years of marriage, it basically like binds you even more,
yeah.
Something like that. So they got divorced right before the 10-year mark. So, like, you know, part of hearing that, I was like, oh, maybe something was up with that. Like, I don't know. And then also it's like, it makes you wonder, I'm just using their case as an example, but it's like, it makes you wonder, like, how long have they been wanting to get divorced? You know, was it like a sudden thing? They're like, oh, our 10 years is approaching. Let's just get out. Yeah. Or was it like, oh, this has been bad for like 5 years? Or was it just happening that month? And then they're just like, you know what? This isn't... You know, like, how fast does a relationship crumble? Because there's also a couple people that I've heard of that have gotten divorced within a year of marriage. And to me, that seems, you know, honestly,
that's just like a vacation at that point,
but that
right?
seems like so, like, it's like, whoa, did you even try to make it work? You know, because a year goes by so fast. Like, 2015 already, just as an example, like, this year has gone by so quick.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine, like, going from a wedding to getting a divorce the same year.
Like, but I guess some people do.
I mean,
you know?
There are crazy circumstances, though. Like, what, you know, obviously, if somebody's being abusive or alcoholic or, you know.
Remember they got married for the wrong reason? They're just like, well, you know, they're just flying by the seat of their pants.
Who knows? I have no idea. Or even, like, you know, I always think about Mini-Me. I don't think about him every day or anything. But, like, Mini-Me got married to some gorgeous woman. I don't know if she was a Playboy model or something, but she looked, you know, the part. She I think she was like blonde, tall, long legs, you know, like living gorgeous. And here she is like honestly marrying a midget. And you know, and maybe he is a great guy. I saw him at New York Comic Con a few years ago, just like catching a glimpse of him. But you know, obviously he has Austin Powers money. He was really prominent actor for a couple of years, and I don't know what he's up to now.
Is he still alive?
I think he is.
All right.
I haven't heard about any Mini-Me deaths. But I guess, you know, his real name is Vern Troyer. I know this is like all I know about him, but apparently, you know, he wasn't married very long. And from what I heard, she took a lot of his money. So, you know, like, that's really sad if you think about it. And he, you know, maybe in his heart, he like really loved her. He was like, this is the girl for me. And like, you know, they're dating and stuff. And then they get married. And, you know, I don't know the timeline on, you know, how long they were dating and stuff, but you know, how horrible of a person do you have to be when you're like walking down the aisle with like, I don't know if her dad was there or someone, you know, whatever, let's just assume her dad is walking her down the aisle. Like, do you think like she intentionally was like, oh, I really love this midget? Or do you think she was like, I'm just here for your money? You know, like, how could you walk down the aisle and just be like,
how do you walk down the aisle?
No, but, like, how do you, like, mentally, you're, like, is she just, like, ka-ching, ka-ching? Or is she just, like, oh, I really love this guy? Like, we'll never know.
Well, the evil part of me is always thinking that, like, yeah, ka-ching, ka-ching, people have done worse for less amount of time. You know what I mean?
But it's so crazy, because I don't think that they were married very long.
Of course not.
And, like, also, it's, like, realistically, and let's not, you know, be mean to people that are, you know, small people, midgets.
Yeah,
I guess they like to be called, what is the politically correct, small people?
Miniature people?
I don't really know, but I've always called them midgets, and maybe they don't like that, but I'm not quite sure, you know, I don't know what's PC about it, but, you know, they're smaller people, and I'm a big fan of Wizard of Oz, so Munchkin Land, I'm down with the Munchkins, so I'm not trying to dismiss them as like a people, you know. I think that they're pretty cool people, but let's be honest, in real life, in LA, in all that world, you have a midget marrying like basically like a Playboy playmate, you know. And I'll have to do research to see if she really was a playmate, but she was, you know,
yeah,
hot looking blonde chick, way taller than him. Like, what interest honestly would she be interested in him for? You know, I mean, like, or maybe she's those, just like into some crazy.
You gotta look
stuff
at those first dates, man. What do you do on a first date? You know,
he probably
what do you
just
do?
Like
do you
wined
ice
and dined
or what?
Her. You know,
it's like, well, I got this. I'm a serious actor now.
But like, seriously though, like I mean, I don't have anything against Vern Troyer. I'm sure he's a great guy, but like, there's just like a realistic thing where like, even myself, like, it would take a lot of somebody's personality for me to marry a midget. Like, he would have to, like, really prove himself to me. They'll be like, I want to be with this person forever. Like, he, you know, yeah, he'd have to, like, entertain me, make me laugh. Like, I want to, yeah, like, be with him. Like, I don't think I could marry... I know this is going to sound really, like, I don't know, like, all about looks or something, but, like, or vain. But, like, I don't think I could marry a midget. And I'm probably not the only person that, like, feels that way. You know, I'm a normal height woman. I don't think I could, like, look down and... like, at a man that was, like, several feet smaller than me. And, you know, it's just, like, I don't know. It's just not my thing. Like, how could you dance with somebody? Or, like, you think that they're, like, your child, you
then
know?
Then who is Verd supposed to get down with, then?
Probably another shorter woman.
But do you think the shorter woman's trying to get with the taller ones?
Who knows? Maybe, but there might be some, like... Because I know, actually, speaking of couple, you know, connections, they actually do have midget meetups.
Yes.
No, I'm serious. Yes. Like, it's a thing. Like, they meet up with each other. Like, they have conventions.
That's awesome.
I guess they call themselves little people. So, the PC term is little people. But they do have... I've heard about it. They have little people conventions, and they, like, travel the United States and, like, go to the convention every year. And they meet people. I'm sure they have lots of friends. And, like... To me, like, I know it's going to sound so crazy, but if I feel like if you're... Some of them are very short. I feel like if you're that short, like, you need to have a couple other midget friends that you can, like, bond with.
I think so.
You know? And to me, that's different than, like, a race thing. That's, like, to me, that defines all of it. Because, like, you know, in, I guess, high school and college, they always have those, or more mostly in college, I experienced that they have these groups that are, like, African-American club and, like, Asian club and all that. And I always thought it was odd because I'm not against them having their club, but I was always like, why do you need to hang out together? Why can't everybody just be people?
Yeah.
You know? And I never really got all that. But I can totally see a midget club. Because I feel like they need to have another midget. Because if I was a small person, a little person, I feel like I would want to at least know a couple others. Because I don't really see them very often. I'll say, like, I'll be shopping around, I'll probably see two a year.
Two a year?
Yeah, how many midgets do you see a year?
I don't think I saw any this year.
I mean, I don't remember the last one I saw, but I say on average I see, like, two a year. I might have seen one, like, at a craft store this year.
Are they disappearing?
I don't know. I don't know the odds of, like, having a midget as a child. But, like, to me, that's, like, gotta be, like, of course they can overcome and, like, they can do a lot of stuff. Like, it's not like they can't do stuff, but, like, you know, they definitely have some type of disability to a certain extent, and people are gonna literally look down on them, you know? Like, I don't know, I have some sympathy for the midgets, because it's just, like, there's going to be things, like, they can't reach, you know, like, a basic cabinet.
Yeah.
How are they even going to reach, like, a sink sometimes, you know? Like, there are some of them that are taller than others.
So pretty much if you marry into one, you go out with one, you're pretty much almost like a nurse too then, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's, like, taking care, that's why I was saying that, like, this blonde chick that married Vern Troyer, like, she's basically going to, it's like taking care of a little kid. And also a lot of them...
It's like being paid basically to marry somebody.
It's crazy. Like, I don't think I could do that. Even if, like, I might be friends with them and stuff, but I don't know if I could actually marry someone. They, like I said, they'd have to have, like, amazing personality to break through that.
Well, hopefully Vern has found somebody awesome, more awesome than that, then.
Yeah. But that's...
Because I'm assuming they're not together again.
No, I don't think so. But, like, and also taking all his money and stuff, like, it's just, like... Man, I don't know. Like, it's crazy how that works. It's crazy to me that there are, like, people out there, and not just women. There's probably men out there. There's, like, men and women out there who, like, have millions of dollars just because they married someone for, like, a year, and then, like, that was it.
Yeah.
And they're just, like, walking around for the rest of their life, never have to work a day in their life. Like, can go on vacations whenever, probably have a nice house, and just hanging out.
And that was the plan all along.
But then
right?
Everyone else, I don't know if for all of the cases, but, like, it's crazy. And then, like, I don't know how you could live with yourself, like, the rest of your life like that. But I guess it doesn't matter because they don't have to work. They don't have to lift a finger.
Well, they figured out a way.
I don't know.
They
it's
have
crazy.
Clubs. They have girlfriends.
Because everybody else is, like, hustling, you know?
Yeah.
Like, everyone else got to, like, survive. And then they're just chilling on their divorce money. I don't know. It's a little crazy. But I mean, Joe, would you ever have interest in a little person romantically?
No. I'm sort of done with all that. I'm done with that
you're
stage
done,
of
you're the done
stage
with
my life. Yeah.
But like I just don't think I could do it. And I'm sure they're nice people and all, but it's like it's just too much of a lifestyle difference. And
you'd stick with the Javier Bardem's of the world.
I will take a Javier Bardem.
They even have that type of character in Inside Out. What is it?
Yeah, Inside Out.
Inside Out. It's like that's what the girl's dream is, like that type of
to have some like romantic Spanish guy.
Yeah,
be like, I'll show you love.
Is that's what they? I guess
I love
that's
you, baby.
I wonder if there's any like people who don't live in America and they like fantasize about like the Americans.
I don't know. Probably maybe like a hot California girl that they're like, oh, I'm a California girl.
They don't, don't want like the Texan dude.
I mean, there's probably tons of people from like other countries that come here.
They're like, I can't wait to have the Brooklyn, the Jersey guy.
But there's people from other countries that come here wanting to marry Americans for their green card. That happens all the time. It's crazy.
I mean, they all have a plan, right? That's the plan.
I mean, I get it, but
it's a plan all along.
Can you imagine like all the people out there that like are divorced and they were played just because like the other person's now like officially an American citizen? Like,
I feel like maybe they knew it ahead of time. They had to have known it before.
No, a lot of people don't.
They're just like, oh, she likes me.
But
not because I hang with Leonardo or that guy who played in Fargo.
But what about the people that like marry a gay person and then like later on the gay person is like, I'm gay?
Well, they didn't know.
No, but like some of them do.
Maybe they had hints. They're like, I'm gonna marry you so you can become accepted.
But like that's crazy too. Like, what if you like legit didn't know, and then, like, it was never revealed to you. But then like, you have kids with the man.
And then,
like, I've heard of situations where they have kids and a whole family and everything. And then like 15 years later, the dad's like, I'm gay.
Now, okay, we'll get back onto the eat, pray, love like, part. The reason why I couldn't get down with that is because there was no probable cause. But what you listed was like a whole bunch of probable causes to get
to have a divorce.
You know what I mean? It's like, okay, I use you for your green card. Bam, divorce. Done deal. Okay, you're gay. You never loved me in the first place. Bam, done deal.
I want your money.
I only wanted your money. I want the divorce settlement. Bam, done deal. But in Eat, Pray, Love, it's like they went in there in love. They have all these great moments, and then all of a sudden, snap, I'm bored. And that's a tough one for me to swallow. Because,
but there was some situations. Like, for example, he wanted to go back to school, like, out of the blue, and she felt like that was kind of like...
Yeah, but what if it was the other way around? And if she wanted to go back to school, it's a dude like, no, I don't like her anymore. I don't know about that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, I mean, I definitely think...
And then the dude's going to go out, and then he's going to have romantic with the Penelope Cruises of the world. People wouldn't find that as romantic. I guess maybe they would.
That's what the bunch of other
stories are about.
I think that's why people like can kind of like eat, pray, love. I'm not necessarily saying that I liked it for like the... I didn't really like it for like the divorce part, but like, you know, her like traveling and stuff I thought was cool, and like also of course meeting Javier.
If you think about it though, Eat, Pray, Love, and then Vicky Cristina Barcelona feels like, if you now watching them both, Vicky Cristina Barcelona feels like the response to Eat, Pray, Love. Because they're talking about like, oh yeah, you go off and you do your things. You're thinking about separating with your husband, and then you go off and have this fantasy and realize, no, it's not what it's about. You know, it feels like that might be like a response to it. Like,
when did Vicky Cristina come out?
I have no idea. I forget.
I think they kind of came out around the same time, but I'm not sure.
But watching them both now, it feels like there's a response to it. Like there's like this is the crazy. Why don't you think rational or stuff like that? You know, I don't know.
Maybe, but it's I guess it's interesting because, I don't know, like, I'm with you on the divorce thing for the most part, but sometimes maybe that's how it comes up. Like, it's, like, you haven't experienced it, so, like, you can't say, I don't know. I don't know how people, like, come to the conclusion that they're, like, I want it out of this relationship, even though there's, like, no, like, you're saying a probable cause, like...
Well, at least...
Like, abuse, or...
Well, at least in this story, that's what got me... It was tough for me to, you know, so for one thing.
But do you think people need to have, like, a major thing? Because, like, I'm sure people have asked for divorce over probably something that didn't even make sense to the other party involved.
Probably. There's probably any reason to get divorced. But what I'm saying is that that's all fun in the real world. But all that stopped me from actually making Julia Roberts' character likable. For me to, like... Fully invest into her.
What I was saying
to
earlier.
Care, because it's now from the continuation, now it's just like, oh, now you're just going to go with... You know, like anyone like in their early 20s or something like that, because she even went and started going out with like a guy like the James Franco character, like he was in 20s. It's sort of like, isn't that what some people do in their 20s when they're to live? They're like, I'm going to go into Europe and see all these things I've always wanted to do, mm-hmm. You know?
Well, I was hesitant to even, like, want to kind of watch that movie with you because, first of all, I know you're not, like, a big Julia Roberts fan.
Well, the
like,
problem...
straight up.
The
like,
problem
that's why I
have,
thought that you wouldn't like it at
all. The problem I have with Julia Roberts, for one thing, and she did this multiple times...
And this is before even watching this
And this
movie.
Is, like, just because, like, because when you're known as, like, you have a trademark, your acting trademark, right, is your big smile and laugh. Like, the big, like, over-the-top... I won't say over-the-top, but she has that trademark, like, laugh, you know, that big laugh. And then that's the part where people are like, that's why I love her. She's adorable and lovable because of that laugh. And I see that as a gimmick. And I see it being used in the movie for like in a montage, you know, and like these like, oh, we're watching soccer. Oh, now we're painting and we did the laugh. I'm just like, ah, oh, we're just using that part. But that's just what annoys me. I don't really hate her or despise her as much, but I see the appeal. And she's supposed to be like the all-American girl.
Is she just like too happy for you?
She's just not of my era of why I would like a leading actress. But I understand and I respect and I think I can totally go through that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But to me, there's other ones I find more enjoyable that came out or before and after her.
But she's like Pretty Woman and all that.
That's true.
What people remember her as.
That's right. And she did the laugh there too. Like, oh, a montage. Oh, look, I'm living. Like that. That
she's
stuff.
Living life.
Yeah, that's
and
what
smiling.
That's what you know. That's what females connect with. That I assume.
I mean, I'm not necessarily like.
I liked her in
I
the Ocean's 11 movie. I liked her in the Ocean's movies.
I don't really have an opinion of her. I mean, yeah, she
you have
smiles.
An opinion on everything. How do you not
I mean,
have an opinion?
She did
on her?
Like that movie Mona Lisa smile. I never saw it.
She's fine. She's a fine person.
She seems like a pretty good person, actually, in real life.
Sure.
She doesn't seem like as, like, Hollywood and, like, even though she's, like, a top
She is definitely the approachable. The approachable. She's one of the approachables.
Which I actually respect a lot, to be at that level in Hollywood and still be not smug and arrogant. I think that's kind of cool. But, yeah, I think Julia Roberts is fine. I think actually she portrayed the Liz character very well. I know you didn't read the book, but I feel like that was good casting. And I feel like Javier was good casting too. Because like to have some romantic like guy come at you from like, you know, another culture and stuff. You're like, damn, that guy's fine. You know, of course. And I didn't know James Franco was in the film, but I thought he did well too.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, it was just an amazing cast, really. And Billy Crudup was good. But yeah, there wasn't like a moment where it was like, oh man, they're getting a divorce. Oh man, that's bad. You know, it wasn't like that. But I think that might be part of the appeal.
It was just already bad from the get-go.
No, it wasn't already bad. It was just like it wasn't working for whatever reason that she had. Like maybe other people could have stuck with it. But maybe, like, her character was just like, no, I deserve better.
She just needed to be free.
I deserve better, or whatever, you know? And, yeah, I don't know. I can't necessarily relate to how her character is, because I don't know if that's necessarily me. But, yeah, I mean, it definitely was more selfish. But what I was getting at, too, is, you know, for years, maybe it's a flip side of this, but for years, guys have left marriages for no reason. For no good reason. Like you hear about stories from like back in the day of like women who were homemakers making dinner, like ironing all
and then they got bored.
Ironing all their husband's
shirts.
Pretty
much just everyone got bored.
No, but what I'm saying is like you hear about the dad like leaving and then like the kids are like, where's daddy? And then like
they would just ditch out.
And he didn't even like say where he's going or anything.
Yeah.
Like you hear stories like that and like so
those are horrible stories too.
And that's even worse because like they don't even say anything. Whereas like at least Julia Roberts' character was like, hey, this isn't working. Like, you know, they didn't try 100%, but you know, like she at least told him where she was going and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like it, but
I'm
you
gonna
know,
take a trip.
But it to me it represents like a lot of women in modern day society. Like I can see how it's a certain type of woman that would fit that mold. Like, a Sex and the City type women, like, might fit that mold, you know? And it was interesting seeing her, like, rebuild and going to all the places that I can't go. So it's like, you know, I feel like there's certain people that are out there hustling, but then there's certain people that can go out and, like, enjoy life. It's fun to, like, be able to... It was a good escape for that, whatever, couple hours to be like, oh, this is what other parts of the world look like. And no, that's like her journey.
That's what's cool, you know, like, I like seeing Italy. Is that where it was?
Yeah.
I like seeing Italy and Bali and
India.
Like, that was cool. You know, I'm a big fan of, like, journeys about finding yourself and stuff like that. Like, I think that's really actually important.
Yeah.
So, I'm not against that.
And she ran into other side characters that had their own struggles and stuff. So, like, but I guess, I know where you're getting at. Like, you, just for the divorce, there wasn't, like, a solid enough reason for you that they got divorced.
She literally could just been like, dude, I'm out. But then she had to go out with the James Franco character, too, to find a different version. You know what I mean?
But that was also part of her finding herself.
Literally what it came down to, I guess they got, maybe it's because how old they were, that like how old Julia Roberts is, and how that I couldn't believe that maybe they got married that young. Like, it's like, that's something that you do when you get young, like at like 17 or something.
But weren't they saying
that
they were married for like 8 years or something? Is that the number they gave? I'm not sure.
But maybe their looks didn't sell me at a young, they didn't look like, oh, we got married super young. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But who knows?
I mean, the couple looked like they could have got married in their 20s or something.
Yeah.
So, that's fine. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, overall, like, it wasn't, like, life-altering, but it was... I know a lot of people... Because even, like, remember when how Stella got her groove back? Everyone's like, oh, it's so life-altering. But then it turned out later that her husband was gay.
I never saw that movie, so spoiler.
Yeah, so... I mean, I don't think that's actually in the movie because it came out like later after the movie and like after everything else. Because like she was with some younger guy that she's like, oh man, I'm getting my groove back.
But it's almost like really to me when I see movies like this, it's just sort of like I understand why people don't believe in marriage. Well, there's so many stories like that when they're just like, well, you know, we can always just end it anyway. And that's fine. That's how people are. Everyone has their own different ways.
Everybody, like nowadays...
What it is what it is.
Nowadays, there's so many versions of marriage and hooking up and togetherness.
Well, my part is this. Don't waste other people's time. That's the real thing that I
despise.
So basically
what you're saying is communication.
Communication, but don't waste
on
people's...
On both ends.
Don't waste people's time, man. Don't waste people's... I remember he was pissed off. He's like, you couldn't just tell me this, like... Why don't you just tell me this, like, you're like years ago instead of just waiting it through? Totally understandable there, because he wasted time at that point. Don't waste time. I despise anyone for me who wastes my time. If you've been unfriended, it's probably because you've been wasting my time. That's the end of the story.
The end.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. This show is brought to you by Stray Productions. Check them out at StrayProductions.com. Hey, did you know I have a new website? JoeCarabello.com. Check it out. Whole bunch of new stuff there for you. Check out. Also, go to MrBandit.bandcamp.com. I have an EP out of cool instrumental music. Check that out. Don't forget to check out the new up-to-date stuff. GoStray.tumblr.com and also 1-shots.com. Carolyn, what do you got?
Yeah, check out CarolynBaleski.com. Again, we're having that Cyber Monday extended sale, so check that out before I take that down at the store.
That's right.
And you can find me on Twitter, Facebook, all that jazz, Instagram, at Carolyn Baleski.
That's right. iTunes, Stitcher Radio, CarolynTheJoeShow.com. We'll see you later this week, because you know what? My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Be excellent to each other. Let them know, Carolyn.
You're bona fide.